If you go ahead and turn your Bibles to 3 John, our text today will be found in verses 9 through 11, and the title of the message, as you see, Bad Example. As most of you know, yesterday we had the men's conference here, and the theme was Faithful to the End. Well, today we're going to see an example of a man by the name of Diotrephes, who was not a good example, and he was not faithful at all to the calling that God had placed upon his life in the church that he was serving in. So let's go ahead, read our text, verses 9 through 11, and then we're going to come back and take a look at it a little bit closer. So open your Bibles, 3 John, and verse 9 says this, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil is and has not seen God. Paul had explained to Timothy, for Timothy's life, that he should be an example unto the believers in word and in conduct. And so we know that God has called us to be good examples. And what a blessing it is that when we are able to have somebody that we can look at and know that they are a good example. To find that person and we can watch them, listen to them, follow their example in the good times and in the hard times as well. You see, sometimes the hardest times that a person will face or the most valuable lessons come forward and the true character of a person comes out. And that's so important for us to realize that God wants to be our God, not just in the good times, but in the difficult times too. That we can trust him and rely upon him and believe in him and hold fast to him during these times. There is no doubt John, the apostle, would have been one of these examples that you would be able to follow at all times. And then you would be able to walk behind him, if you would, and pick up those gold nuggets, spiritual gold nuggets that we talked about yesterday in the men's conference. We see that Diotrephes didn't look at John that way. For in verse 9, it tells us that he did not receive John. That John had actually, did you notice, he says, I wrote to the church. So I wrote a letter to the church here that he's talking to now. But Diotrephes, he didn't want anything to do with that letter. He doesn't want anything to do with us, with me, or the people that follow with me and hold the truth that I hold to. Diotrephes didn't want any of those people to be around. So he would not receive John, or the people that were hanging out with John as well. Verse 9 in the Amplified kind of opens it up a little bit more where he says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to put himself first, does not accept what we say and refuses to recognize my authority. Sadly, Diotrephes was not a good example. And what was his downfall? What caused him from being the potential of being a great example to being a bad example? Well, John listed it right there where he said that he loved the preeminence among the people, or he loved putting himself first, taking that position of supremacy, of authority, lording it over the people. I'm in charge. Therefore, you do what I say. I'm in charge. And that's a far cry from what Jesus told us what a servant of God should be there in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Listen to what it says here. But Jesus called to himself, he called them to himself and said, "You know that rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are with great authority exercise great authority over them, yet it shall not be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to have his life a ransom for many." Jesus was the perfect example of what a servant should be. He didn't come to be waited on and have people bow down to him and do all these different things that he would dictate to them. He came and he washed the feet of his disciples. And you go, well, that was very kind of him. Well, you need to understand, it was a little bit more of kindness. It was an example of being a servant of the living God. For you see, it was the lowliest of the slaves that would wash people's feet. When travelers would come in, they'd be walking on those dusty paths. And what happens in those days, they did not have cars that had batteries and engines and that they could drive from one place to another. They walked. Or they rode a donkey. Or possibly if they were wealthy, they had a horse. Well, those donkeys, those horses, love to leave deposits while they're walking. And what would happen many times is people would be walking down those same paths. They would be having to push those to the side or step in them. In other words, their feet were really stinky and dirty. And so when you would come to a person's house, you weren't just able to come right in. What would happen is the servant, the lowliest of all the servants, would come out with a basin and wash your feet and get all of that dirt off of your feet. It was the lowliest of all the slaves. And Jesus said, by his example, around that table, including Judas's feet, he washed his feet as well, knowing that he was going to be betrayed by him. And he said, if you want to be great, be the servant of all. And yet there are so many pastors and so many rulers in a church that exalt themselves and put themselves up into a position to where the people feel like they're God. They're closer to God than we are. So they're God's chosen and they're God's this. And those pastors take that on for themselves and say, yes, I am that. And because I am that, you need to be doing this. But they're not willing to get out and do what they're called to do, what they ask the other people to do. You know, a leader should be a leader by example, desiring to do the things that people do. And I think that's lost in many churches today, that some pastors think of themselves better than they ought. We had a meeting down here with a bunch of people, church meeting, and the guest speaker there, I said, oh, excuse me, I'll be right back, was standing there, and I went and helped roll the tables away and stack the chairs and stuff, and then went back and talked to him. He goes, do you do that all the time? I go, yeah. Why should I ask them to do something I'm not willing to do? He goes, Pete, you wouldn't believe how many churches I go to. And the pastor would never be caught dead doing something like that. And I said, then that's not good, because they're not being an example. And I think it's so important that we take it out of the ministry about being an example and also put it into our home for our family and for our loved ones, for our job sites, for the community. Being that example, doing things as unto the Lord, doing it to bring pleasure unto the Lord, not to exalt ourselves. it's so important that we understand that Theophilus, he wasn't that way. Oh, he might say that he's a good leader, but his actions showed something totally different. And if we're serving the Lord in that way, then we're not remembering what a servant should be all about. You see, respect is earned not by a position that you hold, not by the words that that person speaks, but by their actions and demonstration of what their lives should be, that example. Oh, love for people can be expressed in words, we know that. But many times for some people, it's not showing in their actions. Let's all, you and myself, all of us, let's make sure our actions are putting and aligning with our words, just as Jesus said that we should be examples for one another. Because of what he did, what Theophilus did, because of John's love for the people, he shared what he was going to do in verse 10 when he got there. Listen to what Theophilus did to him, to John. Remember, he wrote a letter, and this was his response to this letter to the people. We don't know what's in that letter. I'm not even going to guess, because it's not spoken of, it's not said. But look what Theophilus did because of it. Verse 10. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, his actions, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, in other words, they would like to have their brethren come in, throwing them out, putting them out of the church. The first thing that he did was this. He lied about John and what John was saying and who he was. The words prating against us with malicious words literally means bringing false and empty charges against us. These sayings that he was doing, these sayings that Theophilus was saying, was just pure nonsense according to the structure of the Greek. But sadly, there are people who love to hear things like that about other people. And he was feeding those people because he thought he was in that authority position that he could do that and win them to his side. Well, this type of talk has a foundation simply based with pride and self-glorification. And you know, these two things are Satan's chief tools that he used against us. Satan himself fell because of his pride. I will be like God. I will be like God. And he kept saying, I will, I will, I will. And he wanted the attention. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be glorified like God was. That was his pride. And as a result of that, that caused his fall. He wanted the glory instead of giving God the glory. None of us should touch the glory of what happens in this church, in our personal lives, in this ministry, or in anything that God has his hands on. Because God says he will not share his glory with anyone. If he's not going to share his glory with anyone, then we need to make sure that we're not touching his glory, but we're giving glory to him for what he has done. It's easy to have people compliment you and pat you on the back and you start thinking that you're something. But you know what? Put yourself up against Jesus and think about that. How do you compare to him? So if God has chosen you to do something and you do it well and the people are appreciative, don't you think that because God chose you, God gave you the abilities, that you should be giving the glory to God instead of accepting it for yourself? And just for no other reason, just say, God, you created the universe and you allow me to have a little teeny part of your kingdom of God. It's not me. It's by your grace and your mercy that I'm able to do this. When we have that attitude, we end up having that humble heart that God so desires for us to have. Not the type of heart that would easily be fed by our pride or self-glorification, but it's to give God honor and glory. John was not there to defend himself in this church when Theophilus was doing these things, but he found out about it. We don't know exactly how he found out about it, but it most likely went something like this. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but very possibly. That this by Theophilus was said and done in the midst of a church setting. And we already saw that when people came to John and told John all the wonderful things that Gaius was doing. Remember, this letter was written to Gaius and to the church there. And he complimented Gaius because of all the things that people had told him, the wonderful things that he was doing. So it's very possible that along with those wonderful things he was doing, they shared with him, John, we're sorry to tell you this, but he's talking bad about you. And I just thought, in all honesty, you should know that. You should be aware of what Theophilus is saying in the church. And he doesn't even want to have you come. He doesn't want any of your people that are in your circle to come. And the people there that want to take you in, like you've encouraged them when you wrote to the elect lady to, you know, not have people come in. You commended Gaius to have people invite them in. And he's saying, if you invite them in, I'm kicking you out of this church. You no longer belong to this church. And that's what he's doing. And so John somehow knew about it, and that's just a possible scenario. I'm not saying that's exactly how, but we do know that he found out. I'm just suggesting that might be one of the ways that it could happen. And so the people were divided into two camps. I could see this, that where they still loved John because some wanted to have either John or John's friends stay with them. And then there was those that Theophilus was having gathered to his side. It sounds pretty much like a church division going on here now. And it's because of the pride and self-glorification. Typically, when you see churches divide, it's because of a self-centeredness that is going on. I can do it better this way than they're doing it that way. So therefore, I'm going to gather unto myself those people and go do my thing with those people. And they're starting their foundation. And unfortunately, many times when they do that, what takes place is they end up taking the people that are troublemakers. And that ends up being a massive troublemaking situation in that church at that time. And so it's a sad thing for the body of Christ. It's not a good witness to have leadership like that, or trying to get people to select and to choose certain parts. It's not a spiritually healthy thing at all. But unfortunately, there are some people that would be willing to listen to those things. And some are just naive enough, well, he's the pastor, he must be right. But I think that we have a responsibility as pastors to also to be checked. And I think one of the ways that we should be checked is that when people are listening to us, that they put a filter on. And I think that filter could be found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Let me read it to you in the Amplified. Listen to what it says. Finally, believers, whatever things is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever thing is pure, wholesome, whatever thing is lovely and brings peace, whatever thing is admirable and of a good report, if there be any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them, implant them into your heart. Verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul being the good example there. Practice these things in your daily life, and the God who is our source of peace and well-being will be with you. As you listen to me, you need to make sure that the things that I am speaking to you are truth, that they're honorable, that they're worthy, that they're respectful, that they're right, that they're confirmed by God's word, that they're pure, they're wholesome, they're lovely, they bring peace, and they're admirable, they're good reports, they're excellent, anything worthy that I'm saying should bring forth praise, and that there's thanksgiving in the midst of all of this, and you center your mind on that. Anything else, you just throw away. And when you're talking with your friends, you need to make sure that you filter everything that they're saying through this. And you know what a filter is, don't you? Something goes through it and takes the impurities out and gets rid of those things, and only the good remains. And we need to make sure that we're listening and only desiring to have the good remaining from the things that we hear, and we accept them, instead of getting caught up into the gossip and the backbiting and the murmuring, because that is not pleasing to the Lord. If we keep this in mind, and every time that we have conversation with people or people that we listen to on the internet or on TV or the radio, people with supposed great authority, we will save ourselves a lot of heartache and will save ourselves from repentance, from sinning in this manner. Because God will convict later on. And as he does, he'll lovingly get you to come back and say, God, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I believe in your word, 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Let's make sure we put that filter on Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Now, the next thing that Theophilus did was he rejected John's associates too. This was simply and nothing less than guilty by association. Just because they were with John and they held John's point of view and they valued John as an apostle, they were rejected by him as well. They weren't John, they were his followers. And he'd had nothing to do with them. You know, we are told that there are certain people that we should stay away from. People that would deceive us, that would lead us into sin or away from Jesus Christ being the true Lord and Savior. But there's even a little bit further of what Theophilus did. You see, he broke fellowship with these people. He didn't want to have fellowship with people who were born-again Christians. And so it's different than staying away from people who are sinning. These people were not sinning. He broke fellowship with them and didn't want anything to do with it for one reason, because they were in the circle of John's friendship and his teaching. And therefore, he did not want to have anything to do with them. And he didn't want the church to have anything to do with them as well. Because not only did he break fellowship with them, but those that wanted to fellowship, he took it a step further. He told those people they could not at any time have anything to do with them. And if they did, they were out of the church. In other words, if you disagree with me about John and his followers, get out of here and don't come back. That's not the way the scripture tells us to deal with problems. Don't be mistaken. There is places in the scriptures that talk about church discipline. One of the easiest ones to understand and the ones that really should be implemented more and more by individuals in the church. It's found in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. It can't get any clearer than this. Listen, if a brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. In other words, you don't go around gossiping and telling everybody, well, this guy did this and this and this and this and this, gathering people to support you. You don't do that. You go to him in private. And if he listens and he pays attention to you, you have won your brother back. Verse 16, but if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others. So now the second step. First, you go by yourself. Second step, you go with two others, one or two others, to be witnesses. And so now you go with two others so that every word may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 17, if he pays no attention to them, refusing to listen and obey, tell the church. That's when you go to the church leadership at that point. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be as the Gentiles, the unbelievers, or the tax collectors. In other words, you don't want to have anything to do with them. But there's three steps there. And Theophilus didn't even do the first step. He just said, get out of here. You're not listening to me. You're gone. That is not following the word of God. He just kicked him out. He went outside of the parameters of the word of God, and his foundation for that was his pride. I'm in charge. You do what I tell you to. And if you take them into your house, you're out of this church. That's not the example that Jesus set for us. He just knew that he could get away with it, or at least he thought he could get away with it. It's pretty sad that when somebody is ruling a church and they think they can get away with it as if God can't see them. God sees it, and he'll deal with it. He'll deal with that person. May not be that day, but time will take care of the situation. I have seen it in the last 45 years of ministry over and over and over again, where things happen and people think they're getting away with it, only to have God deal with it in the way that God wants to deal with it, and light comes to pass. John said this example was evil, and do not do these things, because it was a bad example. That's what he's saying about Theophilus. He's a bad example. And we're not to follow him because he's not following the word of God. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, gosh, Pete, that's pretty strong words. It sure sounds like you might be judging him. No, I'm not judging him. I'm just clearly sharing what the word of God says. Let's take a look at verse 11, because in verse 11, we're going to find another spiritual truth, one of those gold nuggets that we can hold on to of understanding how to live in the midst of the church. Verse 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil. So, you know what he's saying? He's saying Theophilus is evil. His actions are evil. But imitate what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Those are some pretty heavy words. Don't imitate him because he's evil, but you go and you do good, because those who do good are from God, but those who do evil have not seen God or knows God. So, my dear friends, this may not be a long message today, but it's a powerful one. It's one that we should hold on to. So how do we apply this to our lives now? Because I could teach you all the history about this and say, have a great day. And you go, well, I learned some history, but I don't know what to do with it. And I believe every time we read the word, we should also say, God, what and how do I apply this to my life? First of all, I pray that I am a good example for you folks. And I pray that you are a good example for those that you serve, whether in this church or in your family first. And I'll make you a deal. I'll pray for you to be a good example if you'll pray for me to be a good example. Is that a good deal? Boy, I think I got the better deal because I got all you guys praying for me. But I do covet your words, or your prayers, excuse me, that I would be a good example of the Word of God. And let's take it a step further. Let us all ask God to show us what we need to improve in our lives, and ask Him to help us in our lives in these areas. Okay? So let's ask God to help us to improve, to show us first what areas that we need to grow in our leadership, and then ask Him to help us to grow in that leadership. But then I want you to do one more thing. So we see this is a threefold application and homework at the same time. Number one is I'll pray for you and you pray for me. Number two, we ask the Lord to show us what areas that we're weak in and then ask Him to help us be strong in so that we could be the good examples that God desires. And then number three is this, and this is the one I really like. Let's ask God to show us the areas in our life that please Him in the things that we are doing, and continue in those, and ask Him to give us strength to continue in those. We looked at yesterday in Galatians 6:9, where it tells us, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reward in due time. I want you to hang in there, gang. I want you to be faithful. I want you to be that example. I don't want you to get weary. I want you to wake up every morning, yes, it may be after your coffee, and say, Lord, this is another day that you can help me be a good example for wherever I end up this day, for my work, for my family, for those God-appointed times, those divine appointments we refer to them as, that you have me running into people and talking with people, that you would be well pleased. And so, guys, let's be good examples. Amen? And let's not be afraid to say, Lord, I fall short in this area. So help me out. Help me out, Lord Jesus. And I guarantee you, He's not going to sit on His throne in heaven and go, nope. That's it. I'm going to let you sink. Matter of fact, here's another weight to burden you down. He's going to say, oh, I've been waiting for you to say that. Come on, let's go fight the fight together. And as we do this, will conquer those things that you struggle with, and you'll be victorious in those things. And then ask Him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me those things that I am strong in, and help me never, ever to get prideful in those. Help me to continue to do it for your glory, that you could get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And as you do that, I guarantee you, you will be well pleasing unto the Lord. Amen.